Do you like going to farmers markets or those kind of places that will have, you know, lots of fresh fruit and veggies and different kind of wares that people have made and constructed? I was at one recently and I saw this kind of slightly strange couple. There was a young mum with a baby in one of those harnesses, you know, clutched very closely to her chest. And then this older man, I wasn't sure whether it was her father or someone else. And they just seemed to be moving around the stalls. They didn't seem to be that focused on the goods that were there for sale. They had some interest in that. But I could see that there was this real focus, this real attention that they had for the stallholders primarily. They were engaging in conversations with them. There was this warmth, this vitality, this sense of care that was so evident for them. And as I drew closer, I realized that they were sharing the gospel. They were sharing their life, their love, their hope. As they talked to different people, there was nothing kind of pushy, nothing over the top about it. They were simply there expressing their availability to be present to the people that were there in the market that day. And it was a wonderful kind of reminder to me of the vitality of the gospel, that it doesn't have to be this really complicated system that we engage in. To share our faith can be as simple as simply sharing our days, sharing our lives. It's not necessarily about having a very carefully prepared argument or spiel that we rattle off. Sharing our story is a really important part of sharing the gospel. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. We don't have to learn to become apologists, knowing all of the different teachings of the church and all of the different experiences of the nuance of why one teaching came to fruition over another. It's simply that ability to be present, to love the person that we're sharing life with. And if the gospel happens to be part of that experience, all the better. And so when Jesus is entering into now the final stage of his ministry, the first part of Luke's gospel is all centered up in the northern part of Israel. We have the area of the Galilee, the area along the coast of Tyre and Sidon. We have the Decapolis, the region on the other side of the lake, the eastern side of the lake. We know that they journey up to the very northern part, up in the foothills of Mount Hermon, where Caesarea Philippi is located. But essentially, the ministry until this point in Luke's gospel is all there in the north. But we didn't hear it last week because we had the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul instead. But in Luke 9:51, there's this decisive turning point in the gospel that Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem. He heads to the south. His ministry in the north has been very fruitful, very productive, but he knows that he has to now face the powers of darkness. He has to confront the system that has taken over the system of the worship of God there in Jerusalem. And so he begins this journey. And the next 11 chapters from here in 9:51 through to the end of chapter 19, Jesus and his disciples are making their way continually to Jerusalem. And it's where we get some of the most wonderful teaching and the parables that Jesus tells along the way. And so here at the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus sends out these 70 or 72 disciples to go and prepare the way. Two by two, we're told. We're never asked to go alone. We're never asked to try and defend our faith by ourselves. We're always called to do it in the midst of community, to be part of a church that is allowing us and praying for us. Two by two is a wonderful model for us Because if I'm having a rough day, if I'm just feeling a bit flat, a bit deflated, then the other person that I'm with can lift me up. I can give them the energy. I can give them the permission to be the one that takes the front foot. Now, there'll be another day when they're feeling off, when they're not having a great day, and I can step forward and I can to take the role and that responsibility. And together, we can bounce off each other. We can share this life and this journey together. That we're always invited to be part of a community that shares this life. But Jesus invites us to do it simply, to not be encumbered by a whole bunch of other things that we imagine that all those things qualify us. No, we don't need any of those things. All that we need to do this work is to be messengers of peace, to announce shalom into the world. And our world clearly needs more peace. We need more people to stand up for the rights of the oppressed, for those who don't have a voice, for those who have no one to listen to them. Simply to be present in another person's life as someone that is available to see them, to hear them. That is such a precious and beautiful gift that we are all empowered to do, to be available, to have the precious gift of time that we make available to others, to share this life and this ministry and this passion and this gift. If it's grounded and rooted in our own experiences of faith, then naturally it becomes a work of mission, a work of evangelization. And so to pray each day, to pray with that longing that the Lord will send workers into the harvest and that we can be the ones who share that life and that love. Let's pray indeed that the Lord will empower this church to be missionary, to have that focus of being available, to be present to others, to share love, to share hope, to share encouragement. That in these simple things, we are being very faithful to God's call upon us to be the church that He's invited us to be. It begins with an openness. It begins with a desire. And even if we don't have that desire very strongly, simply to pray, Lord, help me to open my heart to this gift, to this grace, to be sent out by you, to be a bearer of your peace and an announcement of the good news of your kingdom that is breaking in today.